The sixth parsha, parsha's Vayetze, Vayachloim Yaakov had a dream, and he saw a mutz of arts of a roisha megiyah shamayma. And in his dream, there was a ladder standing on the ground, and its top reached the heavens. Chafetz Chaim, the Sefer Teres Abayis that he wrote, Perek Yud, he brings the idea by many mefarshim that the ladder that Yaakov saw in the dream is a matziv of every person in this world. There are two actions a person performs on a ladder. Either he's going up from the bottom to the top, or he's going down from the top to the bottom. Which means that every day in a person's life, he faces a challenge. Does he have the willpower and self-discipline to overcome the challenges of life? Then he goes up on the spiritual levels. And if he fails, then he lowers himself, and that's our daily task of life, that ladder, the sulam, to climb higher every day. We know that there's no such thing as standing in one place. When a challenge arises, the challenge doesn't put you down. But you have a choice now. You either behave in the elevated manner and grow from it, or you fall. And it's important to learn how to appreciate the daily challenges that face you. Every difficulty in life is meant to bring you up, to elevate you. Every time you overcome something negative, you overcome your Yetzirah, you overcome a negative impulse, you grow as a person. And when a person climbs a ladder, he feels the progress each and every step. And you too, every time that you have a daily Hatzlacha, a daily accomplishment over the challenges, you grow and you have progress and you move upwards, and that'll be motivating you to continue going further. When you see a ladder, that's a reminder of Yaakov Avinu's ladder. Am I climbing up or am I going down? If the answer is you're going down, no yiush. There's no place for despair at all. Rather, you strengthen yourself and you start climbing from wherever you are. So Slant is known to say that a person is like a bird in a certain sense. A bird has the ability to fly very high, but it has to move its wings. Bird stops flapping its wings, it falls. Person's the same way. That's another thing. When you see a bird flying, to remind you of that, that you have to elevate yourself and go up, Baruch Nias. And now moving on to the pasuk about Yaakov working for Rachel, Sheva Shana, for 7 years he worked. And it was in his eyes a few days, in his love for her. And it's well known, the question, that usually if someone has a feeling of strong love for another person and a deep passion to get married to that person, it's usually the opposite. Usually a short time seems much longer than it really is. So why is it so short for Yaakov? And the Malbim gives two terutzim on this. One answer, the Malbim says, is that Yaakov loved Rachel so much that he thought that he was worth working for many more than 7 years. In other words, working 7 years was a bargain. And from this, the Malbim says, we see the yesod, that the difficulty experienced in any work is subjective. It's based on your evaluation of it. When you feel you're gaining a lot, then the work you do is much lighter in your eyes. And keep that in mind, and that can lighten your burden in whatever you're doing in life by focusing how much you're gaining from what you're doing. This applies in everything you do, whether it's work, whether it's any other endeavor, but certainly in Limud HaTorah and pursuing Torah and mitzvahs. If you feel that preciousness of it, you feel how great it is and you love it, then you realize that whatever difficulty you went through to get to it, to attain the Limud HaTorah and the mitzvahs, is all worth it. Same thing with Yaakov. He loved her so much that he felt that working for 7 years was a bargain, was mamish a bargain, and that's why it was short in his eyes. That's one answer. A second answer the Malbim gives is that Yaakov's ahava for Rachel, his love for Rachel, was not a passion. It wasn't tali bedavar. When a person has a deep passion for something, then it's, you're right, it's the other way around. Every day he has to wait seems like a year. But Yaakov loved her because of her good qualities, because of her midas tivais that would make her worthy to become the mother of Klal Yisrael. And therefore the Torah says, Ba'avasai oisa. A person who is in his love is based on his own tivus, his own desires, his own passions. What's happening there is he's really loving himself, not the object of his love. But when a person loves the good, he truly loves a good thing and not himself, then the time seems short because it's not a selfish love. It's similar to a famous story with Rabbi Leib Chassman, that he saw a Talmud eating fish with such a geschmack. And he says, you love the fish? The Talmud says, yes, I love the fish. But then he said, you know, you don't love the fish, you love yourself. If you love the fish, you wouldn't eat it. You would keep it alive, take care of it, feed it. You're eating the fish because you love yourself. Very often in marriage, in the beginning of marriages or in dating, a person has to be careful with that and realize and try to understand and try to go past beyond that. That when you're marrying somebody, it may seem it's because you love them and so on and so forth. But usually, unfortunately, maybe hopefully not usually, but it happens where it is selfish. You love yourself, so you think, what could this person do for me to fill my needs, physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, whatever the case may be. That's totally vidavar in a selfish way. You're loving yourself, so you're loving your potential kala or chasen based on your love of yourself. And we have to go past that and beyond that. Start recognizing that, yeah, v'tech shaloi l'shma b'lishma. And yeah, there is a thing where you could get something to be motivating you that ultimately will get you to the right purpose. But the right purpose is to love the other person because of the good qualities that they have. A non-selfish love. A love that comes from giving versus from receiving. So when you say you love someone, you have to really be careful what you're saying. Be self-aware of what you're saying. Is that a selfish love? Or is that a non-selfish love? Because a selfish love is temporary. That desire goes away a little bit. You quote-unquote love them for their money or for their good looks. And that dissipates somewhat. Then it's a temporary state. On the other hand, if it's a non-selfish love, it's long-lasting. Could last forever. And the question is to ask yourself, are you willing to be patient for the sake of the other person? Because selfish love is impatient. You want it now. But here is a true love that even after 7 years, it's just a few days, like by Yaakov. Our goal is to get to that point. To get to a point where you love somebody unselfishly. Another aside, and the Sefer Growth through Torah brings fascinating insight also, not to use sarcasm when you're trying to give mussar or correct other people. Lavan, when Yaakov complained to Lavan, you know, why did you deceive me? And you gave me Leah instead of Rachel. And Lavan said, Loi ye'ase kembim kaimenu lasis ha-tzeir lefnei abechira. It is not our place to give a younger one before the older one. And the Beis Halevi brings that from these words that Lavan was insulting Yaakov. Subtly, he's insulting him. What he's saying is that in our place, we always insist that the older one marry before the younger one. It's not like you. You took the firstborn from your older brother Esav. He was like shtuching him. He was like chastising him. And according to the Beis Halevi, he was insulting him that way. You know, you don't take the younger before the older. You don't steal a bechira away. You're the younger one, you stay the younger one. You don't try to become the older one. You don't try to become a bechir. Now, this is the way Lavan spoke. He uses sarcasm to attack others. If Lavan was really an emistika person, and let's say he, for real, l'shem shamayim, was bothered by his stealing the Bechira from Esav. He felt there was something wrong with it. If that would be the case, the right way to do it is to openly say in a direct way to Yaakov, listen, I heard this is what happened. Explain it to me because it bothers me. How could you try to, you know, cook the meal and do this and that to try to get the Bechira away from Esav? If that really bothered him, that's the approach, a direct approach. Teichacha is like that, by the way. where you say, why did you do this? And you could say it nicely, pleasantly, with respect, but direct. Sarcastic remarks in an indirect way causes pain. It's not a mode of communication, and it's not used when you want to really correct somebody. When you use sarcasm, it rarely, rarely motivates anyone to improve. So be very aware when you use sarcasm and try to eliminate it from your language. It is poisonous language, especially in marriage, it's poisonous language. You need to, even when you need to say something direct, you say it in a respectful manner, with tact, respecting the other person's feelings. Like it says, you could reprove somebody, but not to embarrass him. You do it in a direct way, but pleasant way. But sarcasm is biting. It's sharp. And that should never be used. Sarcasm is poison. It creates sinas chinam, ill will, and should never be used. Another aspect in Shalom Bayis, and would highly recommend that you join the Shalom Bayis groups, whether the main groups, the Panimi groups, which talk more about personal and exercises and so on and so forth. But this idea of Ayar Hashem ki snua Leah v'yiftach esrach mavarach lakara, Hashem saw that Leah was hated, opened her womb, Rachel was barren. Rabbi Ruchim talks about this, that over here, of course, it's not referring to literal hatred. Come out, all the Mefarshim explain this, Chas v'Shalom, to say Yaakov had that hatred, Adarabba, but it means that in comparison to his love and respect he had towards Rachel, it was considered less so and somewhat negative. Now, we see that although Rachel did not do anything directly to cause Leah any pain, but this was the cause of Verachal Akara, you know, and it seems from the pasuk that that's the pshat. From here you learn, though, that certainly one has to be very careful not to make any negative comments to a husband about his wife, to a wife about her husband. And it may seem, what's the big deal? But it could lead to even small amounts of resentments that could put a seed in the heart of the one you're talking to, touches of hatred, even though it's not mamish hatred. It's like the senua leia, which Chas v'Shalom to say was senua. And even if you're saying it for constructive purposes, be very careful how you word things. You may have good kavanas, but it could cause a lot of suffering. You need to adarabba, build and praise a wife to a husband to a wife. And that is maisif ahava, similar to what the Malachim did with Avram Avinu, when they said, Hine ba'oil, that Sarah's in the tent, she's at Sinua. So it's very, very important to do that, to be very careful, to be marba shalom in Klal Yisrael, certainly shalom bayis in Klal Yisrael, and be very sensitive when you're talking to a husband about a wife or a wife about a husband, even when necessary, to be as positive and uplifting as possible. Bracha v'atzlacha.